คือตั้งแต่การแถวแหวกมาถึงตรงนี้
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to tonight's March 13th, 2022 regular city council meeting. Would you all please rise for a short private invocation asking for God's blessing upon this city and wisdom as our city council makes it, it makes its decisions tonight. Now, if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item 1D is a citizen input. On our agenda tonight, is there anyone who would like to make a statement or address the city council? Please raise your hand and I'll recognize you. Okay, seeing none, we'll move to item 1E, which is a roll call. And I'll note for the record, all city council members are present. And I'd like to move then to item 2, which is the approval of tonight's agenda.
I make that motion to approve tonight's agenda.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 3 is our consent agenda. I'd entertain a motion.
Yeah. To approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now I'd like to move to item 4A. And tonight we have the pleasure of swearing in a brand new police officer to the city police force, Xavier Garza. Xavier, I'd like to call you forward. And Chief, you
want to? So, Mayor Council, as the mayor said, this is a good night. With packed house. Xavier Garza, we call him Officer X. So it's kind of like a superhero, and he's going to be. So awesome. So if you want to just come out here, Mayor. The mayor's going to read a bio. And he's going to explain some where Xavier's coming from. Who we're just swearing in. And you got the back, right?
Here, I'm going to give a little biography for the crowd and for the people tonight. Xavier was born and raised in Ocala, Washington. He graduated from Ocala in 2010 from Ocala High School, and he attended Eastern Washington University, where he graduated with a bachelor's degree in criminal justice. In October of 2018, he began his career as a corrections officer at Coyote Ridge. And while at Coyote Ridge, he was part of the inmate recovery team, the IRT, training to track inmates down who had escaped from prison, tactical training, and survival skills. He was on the team for about 2 years, from 2020 to 2022. And then in July of 2022, he was hired to join the Ocala Police Department. He completed his basic law enforcement academy last month, February 21st, 2023. Xavier enjoys hunting and fishing on his free time, and he's decided to be a part of the Ocala Police Department and serve the community he grew up in. Now, Xavier, I'm going to administer the oath of office. So if you please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Xavier Garza, do solemnly swear. That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution and law.
And the Constitution and law.
Of the State of Washington. And the Charter and Ordinances of the City of Ocala, Washington. And abide by the law enforcement code of ethics. as adopted by the Apollo Police Department and resulted for the Apollo Police Department. And that I will faithfully honestly and impartially perform and discharge the duties of a police officer during my continuous as such help me God. So I'd like to congratulate you and welcome you to the Apollo Police Department.
Now,
we'll sign the vote.
Be signed with an X.
Put an X there.
Xavier, we're really proud of you and what you've accomplished in this short period of time. And I'm going to give you an opportunity here to address the city council and also probably here tonight.
Okay.
So I'm very excited to be here to work with the community I grew up with. Never thought I'd be here in the city of Othello working as a police officer. But I'm very proud to be here. I'm very happy. I'm excited to learn from the guys that have been here for a while. And I look forward to making a long career. Just stick around the community that I love and I grew up with. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really going to enjoy it. And I want to thank you guys for the opportunity for allowing me to be here and continue on my career in law enforcement. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is my favorite part. Now we're going to have his mom and his badge on. Hopefully there'll be no blood. So one of the traditions that I really like.
You were nice at Thanksgiving, weren't you?
Yeah, so my mom moved in Garza, my dad over there, shoots Garza. My grandmother is from back and forth to Mexico every year. He owns a cattle ranch over there. And so I grew up in the cattle ranch too. A lot of hard work. So I appreciate them for showing me, you know, you gotta earn your money, you gotta not just, you know, give it to you. So very thankful for that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Where's our crowd going?
We have.
Now, as we move along in our agenda, item 4B is adopting a resolution to adopt the active transportation plan. And tonight we have Ann Henning, our community development director, to update the council on where we are in that process. Ann?
So last meeting, a public hearing, and then there were some changes that needed to be made just based on transportation comments. And all of those changes have been made in the document that came in tonight. So that's the March version is the updated version.
So is there any questions, council? Okay. Could I'd entertain a motion then to adopt this resolution adopting the active transportation plan?
I'll make that motion.
Go ahead.
She did.
To do what?
To adopt the resolution.
You already said it.
I'll second the motion.
Thank you. Any further discussion?
Nope.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now we'll move to item 4C, which is the adopting an ordinance 1595 amending our OMC, increasing the planning commission to 7 members.
So you also discussed this at your last meeting. The planning commission just feels it would be beneficial to have a larger group to bring more perspectives as they're making their recommendations to you on your planning issues. And so based on the feedback that we received last time, we prepared the ordinance of changing that membership from 5 to 7.
Give them an opportunity to form a forum much more easily too.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'd entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance change.
I'll make a motion to adopt ordinance 1595 amending the OMC 2.21.010, increasing the planning commission to 7 members.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now I'd like to move to item 4D, which is the Othello Housing Authority notice of intent to annex. And I noticed tonight we have with us Angie Gomez, and she's the executive director of the Othello Housing Authority. In addition, Ann, you were going to explain the issue to the council, right?
Correct. So the Housing Authority has been working on a development in, you know, an incorporated area around Othello. And at the time that they started this process, they were more than half a mile away from city limits. And so there was a process, which would be that they would sign an agreement in order to get water and sewer. They would sign an agreement that they would conduct an annexation in the future. However, since the time that they started that process, the city has annexed Figueroa Park, which is immediately adjacent to this property. And so by resolution 10-34, that means that they are required to annex in order to get city water and sewer. So that is where we are at. And so there is the site, and it's directly south of Figueroa Park, which is now, as of November, in city limits. This is the first part of the annexation process where the property owner, they own at least 10%, in this case, it's 100%, one owner, one property. They bring you a notice of intent to annex that property. And so then by state law, there are 3 things you need to consider, whether you're going to accept it, you know, as proposed, if you're going to modify it, if you're going to deny it or reject it. The second thing is whether to adopt zoning. Usually cities will have WDA zoning for the outlying areas, which Othello has done through their comprehensive plan and zoned residential, which leaves us open to set any of the residential zones. In this case, multifamily development was proposed, and so it would need to be R4. And then the third thing is whether the city requires the assumption of any portion of the existing city indebtedness by the RC NAG. Tax expenditure, or the property really isn't any, but there would be no reason not to do that. That would be such a standard practice.
What about that?
So, anything, there isn't really anything that the city is paying off other than through the fees anyway.
If we had debt that was specific to a certain area of town, like the LAD, and the housing authority was adjoining that property, and we'd be sharing that debt if they were to be annexed. I believe it's addressing those kinds of The state doesn't have any area specific debt that holds anything, so it wouldn't even apply to us. There are debts like water, we have some water loans that we're paying on. Those are paid through ratepayers, but it's not like an area specific thing.
Yeah, I know this particular notice of intent is for this specific parcel, but doesn't the housing authority own additional properties adjacent to your park as well?
They do.
And are those going to be annexed
or so,
part of that agreement?
Those properties have signed the agreement to not contest the annexation. And there's also quite a few other properties along Cunningham Road. We've also along Taylor. City engineer has mapped those properties, and so that's something we're going to be discussing in the future. In the near future, of you know, it doesn't make sense to do a larger annexation. But because the housing authority is like almost ready to go on their project with their building permits and everything, it's better if we just deal with this now because it's a simple process. Get done so that they can keep moving forward on their project and not jeopardize the funding or anything. And then we will, like I said, look at all the other ones that are out there and see what makes sense and do a second annexation if that is what makes sense.
So have they submitted a plat to the city?
They have not, but they will.
Okay.
That is a request.
Yeah. So will Taylor Road still be a county road?
Yes.
So.
Yeah, we're not taking in the road.
But that would be a little more complicated. So
when they submit the plat for the development, they're going to submit it under City of Othello ordinances?
Correct. And also the building permit they will submit to the city, and so the city will get their building permit.
Okay.
For that.
Okay, so.
Now, each one of those going to have individual water hookups?
So,
or are you going to handle it as you handle the rest of the area that is a district? I mean, what are you going to do in the platting when you know, are you going to individually, each one has a sewer, each one has a water line? Or are you going to handle it as a district and make them determine what they're going to pay?
Good question.
Well, each unit's going to have its own service.
It will, but in the other development around there, we provide city water, we provide city sewer, but they have a district. It's called Adams Water District 1. What I'm curious is that if this is going to be annexed into the city, each individual property should have its own.
So it's complicated and not entirely known yet exactly how that's going to work. Because it is within the Adams County Water District service area. So they are the water purveyor. And so even though it's city water coming to them, that they are then distributing. If they can serve the site and if they're willing to, we have to allow that. There's a question about whether they have adequate capacity to serve that. So that's still being figured out. Sewer is, their engineers will need to figure it out, but it is likely more beneficial to connect directly to the city sewer. Then to connect to the sewer system that goes to the outside water. But anyway, it's not entirely figured out, but it is city utilities, and so that's it's going through the water district.
This is going to be city annexed. It's going to be part of the city.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at it as having to be put together based on the city ordinances.
It needs to be the city standard for it.
Right. And that means each individual house or unit has its own water connection, and each individual house has its own sewer connection.
it will likely be like 8 to 12 plex buildings is kind of like the.
So each building would have its own.
So, okay, one of the things, because this is complex, I'm sure Angie's still wondering what we're doing here, but this got really complex because they had already gone through a planning process with the county and they were ready to go and this development was going to be a county. But then as they, one of the things that happened when they were applying for the grant was Angie intuitively understood that they may run into problems with the Adams County Water District being able to supply enough water for their needs. And so she asked if the city would write a letter in support of the project. And if the Adams County Water District couldn't supply, then the city would supply. And so subsequently she received the grant. And so now they're making plans to build, but then what's happened that, which makes this, it gets kind of to the point of what John was asking is, the city council years ago made an agreement with the Adams County Water District and agreed on a service area. So in that agreement, anything that is developed in those areas, Adams County Water District is the one who will be the supplier of the water. The sewer is a completely different story. They don't have a sewer district. And so that then started us to digging further. And this is where we found out that as Ann was and Sean were looking through the municipal code, that because this is a new development adjacent to a piece of property that's annexed into the city, which is Tagaris Park, we require them to annex into the city. So, but just because they annex in the city doesn't mean that Adams County Water District within, because it's still in their service area, would still continue to supply. So from that then is created further issues. Like Anna said, it's complex. We still haven't figured those out. Okay. Some of which are, where's the sewer going to go come from? And
so the cost to supply Adams County Water District, when they pay their bill, it's 1.5 times the actual amount of what the city charges for rates under rate schedule for water supply. Being that is in the city, it's now annexed into the city, and now that is city.
We discussed that last week, yeah. That very issue. Did we determine that they would pay 1.0? Or did we determine that they would remain at 1.5? I thought that because...
So they would pay the 100%. Mm-hmm. So what needs to happen is the meters need to be read on the same day. How much is going into the Adams County Water District? How much is going out at their site? So that we know to do the adjustment on the bill, but they're not paying under 50% because they are in the city.
Well, does Adams County Water District charge an O&M fee as well?
They do.
Facilities? So
they have to.
Yeah.
So there's a surcharge that they.
Yeah. So now city residents are paying more for water.
They have to.
Yeah.
So why aren't we looking at running a line down from World Fed?
Because it's in the water service area.
Because we have an agreement with them.
And you could, under state law, if they're the water purveyor, then they get the first right of refusal. They could reserve that.
And they're not refusing? They're not working with us?
They are.
They're working with us.
Well, why not give it up and just let us run a line down there?
Because they want a supply.
Because they're meant to make money off.
Yeah,
well, that's not fair. They shouldn't make money off of anybody that we
so
annex.
It is. I'm not working on it. I can't see the advantage of the hotel. The hotel I have in charge is not actioning and moving in. So we're looking at, we annex that in, and we're looking at the city having more expenses down there, and that's not getting reimbursed because they're not paying property taxes, they're not paying taxes.
But on the other side of that, is if we don't end fishing, is you said there's not water available to them at all. The Adams County Water District, are they not able to provide
water? But the Adams County Water District water comes from the city.
Right, and so that's what I'm asking. So if we don't end it, are they not eligible to get water at all down there?
Right.
And so that completely stops that project.
Yeah.
Why is that? Well, it provides housing. I mean,
yeah, we're good at housing.
No water. No, I'm saying as a benefit to the city.
That
we need some housing.
That's the flip side of the advantage that I didn't mention. Yeah. So. Yeah.
I encourage staff to diligently work to. It's not right that the county, Adams County Water District, number one, would try to make a nickel on our dollar. I don't think that's right. If we can run a line down from well number 10 and feed that and feed it individually, then we should not be required to succumb to the district.
I kind of agree with John. I think it seems, I don't know what the word is, weird that the Adams County, even though Adams County Water District has a service area, once we annex that in, that should remove that from that service area because it is it's city now. It's not in the county.
All the time, the cities grow.
So the other side of that is our water rates are set by ordinance. We don't have any exceptions in our ordinances for water rates. It says, mm-hmm. City of Othello, if you have this, you pay this.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say that unless you live in a water district.
Well, and that's what she's saying is that they would then, when the bills go out, they'd be charged by water district 150%, but then we'd make an adjustment so that it's down to the 100%.
Right. That's just for the water, but that's not the O&M fees.
Yeah.
I don't think it's right that any citizen of the city of Othello would have to pay a different rate that varies from the ordinance, the very ordinance that Corey just mentioned. If we have an ordinance and now you're a city resident,
But then if Ann's
governs you, if, and that's what we're about.
But if what Ann is saying, where you can end up with a water district inside a city, and it happens all the time, then that if is, you're in their service district and you choose to live in that area, then you've got to pay those fees.
And they are doing the maintenance. So
how can we let another district do maintenance on City of Othello? Because those would be City of Othello lines, right?
No. Because they'd be fed by water district.
No, the capital costs would have to be the districts.
But are they at least going to be forced to be set by city standards?
Yes.
So our ordinance is going to have to be revised to reflect that we have a district within our midst. And then residents in these areas that are serviced by the district may incur additional costs.
There's also a question about if the water district actually have capacity to serve this site. They think they do, but based on things we have found since then, we think they don't. And so we're working with the Department of Health to figure that out.
And that limited capacity would be the size of their lines to where they're going.
The number of connections granted by
Department of Health,
the city and Department of Health. And if this would use up all their remaining connections after that full build out, would exceed that? Do they really want to do that? So, like I said, there's a lot of questions on that, but we'll get worked out. But an annexation is a little bit of a long process. So, we're going to get it started.
I think the other issue, too, is that do they have the fire flow?
Mm-hmm.
The pressure adequate to provide fire flow? And if they don't, Angie doesn't want to be left here with a grant ready to go build, and now she doesn't have a supplier.
Yeah.
And so that's why I gave Angie that letter when she applied for this grant that the city would supply, because one, I knew we had well 9 down in the area.
10,
excuse me. And we also have a sewer line that runs parallel north and south along Tagaris Park. So I know that we can do that, but think of this, because I've been thinking about it because we've had quite a lot of conversations last week. This is a transitional time. And the city council years and years ago, and I can't remember when that agreement was made, back in 1993 or something. 83, yeah. So in 1983, there wasn't nearly as much out there. But the city has now built up on all of its limits, which is why the Housing Authority ended up buying this piece of property outside the city limits, is because there wasn't any place else that they could feasibly purchase and create their housing that they're continuing to supply for residents of the city. So we're not going to be able to resolve everything during this annexation. But what I see eventually, because I had this also was had this conversation with Dora. She says, "Well, is the city going to take over the Adams County Water District?" I said, "Eventually, that day is going to come, but we're not prepared to do that today. But we are. But this is a step of the city growing and will eventually overtake the boundaries of the district, but we had an agreement and we still have to abide by that agreement. But I see eventually the city expanding out its territory. And once the city encompasses, you know, this larger area, I think that at that point, that's where we need to have the conversations with the Adams County Water District that the city's going to eventually take over that. But with that is going to come some expenses and things that are going to have to be carefully considered. But this is just one step in a larger process that's going to take years. I mean, I could see it going 7 to 10 years before anything gets ultimately resolved with Adams County Water District and the city expanding its boundaries.
Okay, I'm not opposed to the annexation.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we should be annexing a lot more property than that.
Sure.
But what I am concerned about is you're talking about, you know, things down the road. Well, you just mentioned not having enough flow. Okay, so how do we increase the flow down there when we start annexing? It becomes the responsibility of the city of Umbrella. You know, now we're going to have to capitalize a reservoir to provide for fire flow in case there's ever a fire that breaks out and we don't have enough flow to be able to supply that. So there's a lot of issues going, you know, as you're saying,
you got engineering
down
got
the road.
There's solutions, but
why not get them the heck out of there
and well,
deal with it on our own?
John makes a lot of sense because we're going to annex it in, but yet we don't even know if we have enough water for the fire flow.
No, I don't know that it's the issue of enough issue water.
Water district system, whether the fire flow is there. The city, you know, has a well out there, plenty of water. It's just the way that it's routed,
yeah.
Right? So it's going through
the condition of the existing
system.
We don't know whether they'll meet fire flow.
Yeah. And it's got to be a continuous flow.
Yes. So if we ran infrastructure from the well to there, we wouldn't have any problems.
Yeah.
But it's just the issue of their infrastructure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there'd be,
but they've got to determine that, so, and then they'll come back to us.
John, do you remember last fire commission meeting that Chief Leibachin mentioned? We were talking about, yeah, we eventually are going to head down that way. We're talking about Pigarrett Park. He mentioned if we're going to head that way with houses, we might be looking at needing to put a substation down in that area. And have we coordinated with the fire department on?
They're already providing service to that area. So
they don't need a substation 1 mile away from their main station.
I don't know what sparked the numbers, but he did bring it up. And I thought, well, if that's going to be something that might.
Okay, well, let's come back to this.
It's an additional expense.
Let's come back to this annexation. But that discussion is for another day.
If we annex it and we end up with an additional expense we didn't discuss here tonight, it's a surprise and nobody cares for surprises.
True, but you're not going to require a substation 1 mile away from your station.
So I've got a question. How many units is it planned to be down there?
So eventually about 120 in three phases. The first phase was about 41.
So I was
we're fine. Consider as we continue to grow that about every 600 new population we should be adding a police officer. But realistically, I mean at this point, these annexations aren't really, I think the first wave of them are going to help some of the congestion. It's really not going to be adding to people. But should we find out that they are, then about 600 is every 600 should be looking at.
Okay, we've done a lot of talking, Angie. Do you want to say anything?
I'm listening in, wondering what's the next step. We are wanting to begin construction, and hopefully, you know, by late fall.
Angie, those are only occupied, 9 months out of the year, right?
The ones that we just built on this property is going to be permanent farm worker houses.
Oh, permanent.
Right.
So they'd be very similar to what you have up here. On Fur?
On Sylvan Drive?
No, on Fur.
On Fur, this is a low income housing on Fur Street.
Okay.
That's low income housing.
Which is different.
So
it's be like the apartment than what you're complexes. Down there.
Harvest Manor, which is a farmer housing, which is Sylvan Drive, Rose Drive. So that's that would be right
now. So another question is there going to be streets in there that will be turned over to the city, or is it just all going to be helping us work in order to take care of all the streets?
Go ahead. So,
yes, but if they're going to take care of them, then that's what we're doing. Yeah.
Right.
So they all have to be at least whatever the ordinance says, 40 feet.
Whatever the width, sidewalks on both sides, so you follow the.
Yeah.
But the city, as we discussed, now sort of, you know, really the age or 36. The streets would be the streets that are on the boundary, and it would just be a large development,
an
interior drive, but not
okay.
Public streets.
So, as far as maintaining them, city would maintain them?
No.
So, they wouldn't be public streets, they would just be driveways?
Could it be an apartment complex? Without,
so know, just basically drive
private drives,
parking
private drives, not maintained by the city.
So the other thing is, with that being annexed, the buildings would have to go to city standards too, right? With all that, the landscaping and all that. Well, that's a big annex right there.
Sidewalk,
yeah.
Both sides,
yeah.
Hello, this is Christina, and I'm actually with the Office of Rural Farm Worker Housing, and we are the developers helping or assisting Othello Housing Authority with this development. And this annexation as well took us by surprise, as well as it probably did to you. We are not opposed to it. We are happy to work with the city. If this property is annexed, definitely it will be to city code, the buildings and everything. There will be ample access for emergency services. And that's currently what we're working with our civil engineers and our architect.
So, Christina, the issues that we bring up about water, have you encountered those before?
Yeah, and this is something that has been ongoing behind the scenes. Probably we've been working with Othello Housing Authority probably 3 to 4 years now, trying to find an adequate site. And then as well, after we found the site, it was servicing with water and sewer. So that's something that currently our civil engineers looking into, and as well working with the city engineering for that.
Well, I was talking about the political decisions.
I think, you know, I had a little bit of difficulty logging on, so I apologize. I think I might have missed a little bit of your first discussion.
No worries.
Well, Sean,
or Mayor, along with the fire department, which I think would the third motion listed here, city indebtedness being assumed by this property, the fire department and or irrigation water, would that be assumed by the housing authority for any upsizes in the infrastructure that might be needed? Would that motion, the number three and the memo, would that cover expenses like that? Because if so, I don't have much to say on that. That's good.
Let me address the engineering.
Yeah, Kurt, do you have a comment?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I can kind of cut this short. Discussion and concerns with water, sewer services, everything is required to meet community standards, whether that's streets, water, sewer services to the site will be inspected by the city. It does cover that they will have to install mains. If the main is installed off of ours, it's all going to have to meet standards, whether they tie it to theirs or ours. It will all be inspected by the city. It will all meet our standards. So at the time that we do have to take it over and maintain it, it meets the standards that we have.
So for our irrigation,
yeah,
a contract out there, do we have the infrastructure? Don't we have a code requiring irrigation?
Yes, on any new developments within the city.
So if they don't have to install the irrigation.
And if there's any upsizing of facilities that the city has in place already, they would cover those costs. Yeah, per the motion to require assumption of existing city indebtedness.
Yeah.
That would be covered there.
And irrigation out there, on our water rights right now. So I don't know how big we can, there's other issues with that irrigation.
Fair enough.
Do you have any other questions? Thank you.
Any further discussion, Council? So there's three motions we need to make tonight.
Is it a total of three, or is it a choice out of the three motions?
No, you need to. You can do it all in one motion, but you need to address all three of those points.
All right. I wasn't certain on whether you picked one of the motions to make or.
No, you have to address all three issues. One motion or in
Tanya, what do you prefer?
So we start with one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll make a motion to accept the proposed annexation.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Make a motion to require the simultaneous adoption of the proposed articles.
Second it.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
I'll make a motion to require the assumption of existing city indebtedness by the area to be annexed.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Council. Thank you, Angie. Anne?
And I got to tell you, thank you. You did some great information. I actually came here, I was going to vote against it. Thank you.
You changed his mind, man.
And you're coming to all the meetings now.
Hey, we're gonna.
She knows her stuff.
As we continue to make progress in this agenda, we'll move to item 4E, which is the approval of the purchase of water meters and digital heads. And tonight we have our Public Works Director, Kurt Carpenter.
This request we're bringing before you is due to we are doing inventory and doing estimating on replacement of dying heads. We got to a point where we had 262 heads that weren't reading, where we have batteries dying. We're slowly catching up. We got about 50 of those to replace yet. So what we did was take what we got for inventory, make sure that we cover the developments like Angel's development, making sure we have enough meters to place there, plus what our common use every year is for meters, and then looking at the number that we need for replacement of heads due to the year and age of them and batteries. And we're limiting that to try and keep just within this year because there is an issue with buying them and then sitting and then replacing them with batteries. Kind of start with where you buy them at. So that's why we bring this number to staff.
Question, City Council?
I was just wondering, Kurt, were you going to buy various sizes or are you just going to go for the one size, the 3/4 inch?
You buy one, the heads, you buy one size and they can be calibrated for sizes. We have broken down 1 inch and other sizes of what we normally, or what the average use each year is, and kind of estimated a little more, being that we are growing. So I think this is a pretty good estimate to cover this year, and then when we get towards the end of the year, we'll reevaluate what we have.
So, like when you go to put in a service for an individual, you know, somebody is doing a development. And they buy and put in their own backflow preventer based on the standards that we require from the city.
Yep, yep.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that we supply is the meter itself, the right. City.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there's a recovery cost on that as well. When we go to install it, we have a flat rate fee for
the installation. Yep. Yeah.
So all of this
or connection fee, I guess that's called.
All of it's recoverable.
Yeah.
Through that fee. So I make a motion to approve the purchase of the water meters and the digital heads from General Pacific in the amount of $150,000 and $150,078.
Second.
Good question.
Yes.
Oh. Where are we getting that money out of?
It's coming out of the water money.
Okay, and we have motion.
I already did.
Yep. Any further questions or discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now I'd like to move to item 4F, approving the emergency purchase for the server room air conditioning. Kurt?
We've budgeted during budget to rework the system here at City Hall and doing the investigation. We have 2 units that we discussed that in the HVAC room that should be out exterior units. I've worked for 45 days trying to get estimates to replace those with them outside so they're more efficient. We received estimates 20 days ago or so, and I tried to get one from Bohemian to Apollo and Basin. Bohemian hasn't come up with one, and then at the last minute, Apollo, the Thursday afternoon, sent in theirs, which is in this packet. I don't know, talking with Kelly, that we need to go with the emergency part of it. We have requested 3 estimates, we only received 2. I think they're both really good estimates. I'm shocked at how close they are. So I guess that means pretty competitive. We also discussed possibly if it'll work leaving and cleaning up the tubes that we have existing and using them as a backup for the IT in case the unit goes out outside. It won't keep it down totally. Those systems aren't keeping the temperatures down, but at least it would help to keep them from burning up until we got the other units fixed. So we will look at that a little closer to see what kind of condition those units in, and we'll make that decision regardless, try to get this stuff fixed. But what I'm requesting is we go with the lowest bidder, which is Basic, to move forward with replacing those 2 units, getting the dispatch and the IT back to good air condition, good air.
Legal said we don't need to do it in an emergency situation because the effort's been put in.
Well, this is his wording here in the agenda memo.
That's the Kelly's?
Yeah. So he said that we could do it under emergency because of the risk that it poses to the city, but he says that it isn't absolutely necessary because we have sought out the three quotes and received two. And so the low bidder is Basin Refrigeration and Heating.
I'll make a motion to accept the refreshment of the AC unit at City Hall with the lower bid that was based on that.
Yeah.
With based on refrigeration.
Second. Go ahead.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. Now item 4G.
Mayor. So yep. As it reads in the memo, this will come out of the red zone items that we appropriated for $250,000.
Correct. Pardon me, 1 second. That was when we had approved to fix that right. Back system over there.
But all I want to say right now is that it's a portion of that amount that we mm-hmm. gave to
do
the work on this building.
That's correct.
So 150 minus or 250 minus 20, you're down to 230.
Well aware of this.
Right on.
So now, Kurt, you wanted to talk about spray equipment on item 4G.
4G last year budget was approved to purchase spray equipment, move in that direction. It was $120,000. I've broken down what we've spent towards the ATV to carry this skid tank system. They're in the process of building it. We have a quote for it. We will have approximately $10,000 left over on that. What we're requesting is to move that budget forward to this year's budget. And the reason, one, is we need to pay for the skid that's being built right now. And we're looking at the new case skid steer loader. We can get a rotary mower to go into those heavy weed areas and knock them down. This will use less herbicide and be more effective than trying to spray the taller weeds. And we don't have a brush hog or rotary mower for these students currently. And the skid steer is in closed cab and everything, so it would make it a lot safer. And we'd have more control on those weeds. So that's why we bring this over to you.
The $10,696 left over from the original 120.
Yeah.
That's minus. We don't have to pay for the skid you're having built right now out of that $10,000.
No.
Okay, so that $10,000 is left over after everything.
Yeah, after the okay. Skid and the spray unit.
And then you want to pay for the rotary mower $8,600 out of that $10,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect.
We approved it in 2022, but it was approved for 2023. So,
can you explain that?
Sorry, what was the question? It was approved in 2022, the budget for the red zone items that were to be spent in 2023, right?
So, right, that's correct.
This was one of the items that we discussed last November-ish when we're building all of the red zone items in the budget. And at that time, we decided not to put it into the 23 budget, but in the 22 budget, just so we could pull the trigger and start
get it done
on that stuff now instead of waiting until January. It just gave us another few months of lead time. And so we put in the 22 budget, and all this is doing would just be moving that and spend budget from 22 to 23.
Cleaning up your budget.
It's in the balance. It's in the balance.
So money exists there. Yeah. We're not asking for any money.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
I'll take a chance here to update you on the spray program too. Myself and four others are now certified to spray. We have two aquatic. I will be aquatic as well. We'll have three, and the two new hires are also that we're bringing in also have their spray and aquatic. So we're going to have five certified on staff. So anytime we need spray, there should be somebody available to do the work.
So you're going to set up a regular spray program, not just on an admin basis?
Oh, absolutely.
Awesome.
Yeah. Great.
I'll make the motion to approve moving the 22 budget forward to the 23 budget and approve the purchase of a rotary mower attachment.
Second. Further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Kurt.
Good job, Kurt.
Yep. Now I'd like to move to item five, which is our unfinished business. Council, do you guys have any unfinished business tonight?
I got one for Kurt. Yes, the light at Broadway and Mainsville. I like it flashing. That was good.
Well, not my issue. We have one loop that's intermittent right now. I'd like to get it back on loop. So we're going to be looking at that in the next couple weeks, trying to get that. But it should be put back on loop when it's supposed to operate rather than the timer. So we're working towards that.
Okay.
Just an update. Are we doing street lighting this year?
There's a street light project. I mean, we've already, Sean ordered the lights. We awesome. Have all that, all the fixtures. We haven't got the poles yet. And I'm not sure when Sean's letting that out. But yes, we plan on doing the street light project.
Good. I drove over and saw the progress you're making over at the ball fields and stuff. It looks really good, Kurt. It's great. Mayor, you have an update for everybody on what the start time is going to be on the park itself?
I don't. Kurt's project manager, he might.
The basketball courts should be going out to bid. Sean had a couple items he was working on within the next week or so. We have with the playground, we purchased, done the final purchasing of the playground equipment. Last week, I finally finalized the colors, and that's been an ongoing back and forth. So we've got all the equipment designed and going into production. That should be scheduled to be delivered, I think, the first week of June, the equipment. So I have a couple I'm working with Iron Horse Railroad. They're going to donate some memorabilia, signs, lights. I'm trying to get that lift from them so I can finish designing the landscape and putting that stuff in there. Once I get that completed, I can give that to Sean and Cameron, and they can put together the specs and get that one out to bid. We're hoping to get that to bid while the contractor is working on site at the basketball courts, hoping that they'll bid it and save them all. But that's where we're at on that. And we left one piece of play equipment in there. The demo, we decided that we should leave something there for the kids to play on because we have a little time in between.
Pretty cool.
Any other unfinished business, council?
So I actually question. I have a question and a comment for you. When we were doing budget, we budgeted, I think it was $30,000 for the safety features at the Parks and Rec Department. And we're told that that was going to be one of the first projects this year, as soon as Public Works building. Do you get started on that yet?
We have not. We will be starting with it. Valerie, we're discussing what we want to do there. So I'm trying to work with Valerie to make sure that she's happy with how things flow and function, but we will be moving into that.
So the other thing I have a comment for your public works people. Three weeks ago, I think we had that last snowstorm we had. You guys were out there early, it was a Wednesday. You were out there early Wednesday morning, you were out there before I was. They did a phenomenal job. I wasn't here that Monday after that, and I was going to mention it then, but I want to mention now that they did a phenomenal job, and it was very much appreciated.
Thank you. I love them.
That's it for me.
Thank you. Is there any new business tonight? I have one item. Because I got this email this last week. Public Disclosure Commission requires each elected official to do an updated F1, which is a financial statement. And that requirement is April 17th. So I'm just giving you a little bit of advance warning notice so that you guys can log into your Public Disclosure Commission account and update that information. I'll give you another reminder probably in a couple of weeks, but I just wanted you to know that. Also, as we move to item 7, councils will receive the building and planning reports, the finance report, and the legislative report. And with no further business to come before the council, I'll conclude tonight's meeting at 7:01 p.m. I don't know that one.